Since the dawn of mankind, humans have gazed at the stars and asked themselves questions as the stars gazed back. Why are we here? Are we alone? How will it all end? However, out of all the questions man has asked over the millennia, there remains one that trumps all others. What if a nasally online web animator started a podcast where he shot the shit with a guest for an hour or two while you sat there with your gut hanging out? While most of man's questions remain unanswered, I do have an answer for that last one, right now.
On Schmucks.
Welcome to the Schmucks Podcast, episode one, called This Is Gonna Get Pulled, called This Gets Pulled From YouTube and John's Career Gets Ruined in One Episode, all in 5 minutes, called the first episode. My first guest here is John Jafari, for those who don't know.
Yeah, go on.
He's John Tron online. You've been at it for a couple of years now. When did you start this whole deal, in 2010?
I started in 2010 as a man in my, or a boy. young boy of 20. A young, stupid boy of 20 in my mom's house.
And what did that first couple of videos consist of? Give us a sneak peek.
Well, I started there.
I
don't want to like get too into like, you know, how I started off as kind of a prophet there, but you know, I was really hitting the heart. I was hitting truth to power.
Are you saying it's not going to go in the library next to Star Wars?
I was hitting truth to power right off the bat with my Daikatana. I believe it was part one.
It was part one. Daikatana review part one. P2 wasn't very good. P1, I mean, the critics were raving over the background noise that sounded like this. I love the first episode where you go, "Hey guys, it's me, Jotron." And then that was when I said, whoa, what's this?
You sure you didn't like when I did the slow panning shot and said directed, written, produced, and edited by John Jafari in fucking Comic Sans?
Yeah, written by Psychic Pebbles, directed by, animated by, executive produced by, you know, as if some Hollywood buff is looking there going, wow, whoa, as the credits roll in, his eyes widen more and more.
He's like that Indian man who had a stroke on live television. I don't know why I brought it there.
Yeah, just like that man who died, and he went, ooh. And people went, what, is this a joke? And he went, ooh, oh, my heart, my lungs. Is this death? Is
Every
this blackness after this?
Podcast.
Is it static?
Your podcast is off to a great start. I'm really honored to be the first guest to christen this. I'm like, you're basically breaking me. I'm the proverbial champagne bottle you're smashing on the side of the ship that is your podcast.
I'm going to pop you're popping my podcast cherry. By the way,
I'm popping your...
If you like this so far, it's just for 3 more hours or whatever. however
long one of us puts up with this.
One of us is going to have a fucking panic attack and leave. That's how it's going to end. I'll tell you what.
I'm already having a panic attack. Go on.
No, I just wanted to say really quick, to get back on the rails, for the few of you who don't know, John does online game review stuff. You ever see that man who says, this is a poop load of fuck? Well, John is actually one of the few funny ones, in my opinion. That's just my humble opinion.
Thank you, Zachary. Yes. You yourself are a clown of highest status.
Clown Robbery, my classic, my magnum opus?
No, not just Clown Robbery, the classic animated cartoon. I mean you as a man who makes the public laugh. A clown, essentially. That's what we really are. That's what we are.
Are you talking about a John Truck Christmas Tale where all the comments said, this wasn't funny. Why did you collaborate with Zach? This sucks. Easily one of your worst videos. I dislike this video. Are you talking about that classic that we collaborated on?
I could tell John's style has shifted.
I could tell.
John
this is
seems
not John's
sad.
Style. Something is wrong.
I can see something wrong and sad and gone in John's eyes.
Can I say, when I click on your videos and I see the top comment, like, wow, this is okay, but John looks dead in the eyes.
Yeah, there's so many of them that say that, and I'm like, I don't know how to look less dead. That's my eyes. That's what me eyes look like, boss.
That's what me eyes were born to like. When me papa look at me, he said, when you came out, your dad said, hey, is he supposed to look like this? He looks a little dead in the eyes. Your dad was the first. Your dad was the first YouTube commenter.
He doesn't look like he did. He didn't look like he did in the what do they call that thing?
Your dad, Paul Judd, said he doesn't look like he did in Game Grumps. Something's wrong, doctor. Put him back. Something's wrong. Something's going on.
It's funny. It's funny because I guess in my older videos, I was a little bit more... There was less restriction back then on what I could do because it was less of a production, so maybe that's what people are picking up on. But
it's
I
also,
guarantee
it's
you.
Also shorter bursts. Like, you used to not... I can imagine you used to not do very many takes and stuff, too, right?
I don't really... I think I just got more... As you work in this industry, you get more professional, I guess, because, like, there's certain things you... It's kind of like when you've been making cars for a long time, you automate certain parts of the process that were, like, special or before, you know, like...
You ain't building the fucking dashboard by hand anymore. A little boy
or
a machine does that.
I guess it's like nowadays when they program a game, they have, like, you know, like, they use, like, a certain... What do you call that? Like a... What do they call it? A UI? Not a UI, right? No. An API? Whatever. They
I don't
use
know. It's
like
good.
A,
it's, good. It's whizzing over my
it's
head.
It's like when they code a game in Unity now, because it's like all the or like Unreal Engine. They like have all the parts there because they don't want to build it from scratch each time. I guess that's kind of like the way it is for comedy videos too, because there's certain parts you don't want to think about every single time. You're like, well, this guy kind of got it down to a formula.
Yeah. So actually, that's something I want to talk to you about a little bit. So you made the bold decision. A lot of guys who do what you do tend to have the this isn't wrong with this, but they tend to be in a corner of the room with the wall behind them with the plushie, the Mario plushies, and the one up plushie, and that's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you guys always talk about this.
But no beef there. I'm just saying.
You ask me why I don't have a one up plushie in my
I'm
background.
I'm saying why doesn't John where'd the one up plushie go? But you made the choice to go to a set. You have like a set now,
right? Yes,
and,
I do.
And some people were cool to that, and
yeah, I can understand why.
I actually think I wasn't sure about it at first either, but I think actually your fans have even kind of, the ones who were a little bit skeptical before, have kind of cooled down.
Yeah.
It separates you, I think.
I guess the reason I did it was for, well, there's a couple reasons. One, it's not very feasible to make a production in your house that goes beyond certain means. Like, you can see there's lots of messy stuff we do, and I couldn't really do it in a place that I owned, especially, you know, neighbors, so you can't have a crew in there, you can't put lights in there. So, I mean, you know, it's not feasible to film out of your house. Nobody does business out of their house on a large scale, so we had to move out. So, you know, a set also, it's like all television shows are on sets. Nobody complains about those. I don't know why mine, I guess it's just because YouTube is supposed to be more authentic. But, I mean, it's still authentic.
Well, it's still you doing everything. Just, like, I wrote a few episodes with you. I've seen how the process goes. It's literally you at the end of the day doing almost all the fucking work.
Yeah.
Even the editing, things like that. You're still the one, like, doing the basic... You're still directing everything. You're still...
I have an editor. Yeah, I direct everything. I have an editor, but, you know, I always have to do... I always do the final edit because, I don't know, I just feel like I want to put my finishing touch, make sure it's, you know... It's the JonTron seal of quality. I don't know what you want to say. But, like... I always feel like putting the loving touches on it is the stuff that makes the difference in the long run. Or, I don't know, but...
Well, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, again, it does... I think it separates you. There's nobody else like doing what you do. I mean, there are some guys...
I guess so.
Like, the Red Letter Media guys have a set, and they do good stuff, but it's not...
Oh,
the
they're
it's,
the best.
It's
they're
great,
the best.
But my point is, it's a little bit... They were the only two guys who also have a set, but even then, there's a big difference between how you guys present your stuff.
I will say, Red Letter Media, I envy them a lot. Not envy them. I admire them a lot. Because, they just have a really great thing going on. They do, like, because, you know, what got me into this was kind of like a love of film to begin with. And it wasn't really feasible back in the day to, like, sit down and review film seriously and get ahead with it. So I kind of just did this weird, like, funny game review thing that was working with, like, Angry Video Game Nerd, Nostalgia Critic, and stuff like that. So, excuse me! I have demons in me.
How dare you?
Why am I getting... It's probably because I'm by old pants right now. I'm around old pants, and I think they're getting into me.
Yeah, okay, so explain what you just said, because you sound like a fucking schizophrenic man with zero context. I know,
well,
but you're covered in old pants right now. Go ahead and...
well, you see, I'm sitting here in a circle with old pants to dull the sound. For the microphone and the old
to
pants, I believe are
screams.
I believe they are emanating particles of dust into my lungs and causing me to have a mucus reaction.
This fucking circle is in a closet. The things you I do for love, as a purple dog once said.
There's a couple candles in here. A shrine to Carrie Fisher. Oh God! Whoa. Too soon.
Whoa! Can I just say real quick? That was also.
I meant to say Jodie Foster, not Kelly.
Well, she's fresh on your mind. I just want to say it was a bad taste. I know what you meant. I want to say also, John and I had a bonding moment where I called him the day that happened, and he said, "Oh yeah, I heard Kelly." I said, "You know she's gonna die," and he says, "What?" And I don't like being the bearer of bad news, but. Nobody knew that her heart had stopped for like 15 or 20 minutes, and I was like,
yeah, you told me that.
I was like, she's brain dead. Like, I wasn't like enjoying it, but everybody was like getting hopeful. I was like,
you sure you weren't enjoying that Princess Leia brain dead story?
Jesus fucking.
you weren't sitting there like lapping that up.
I wasn't getting a huge enjoyment out of Princess Leia brain dead real life 2017. Please look real video. Click inside. Wasn't getting a huge rush out of that, but yeah, no, you were a hopeful boy on Christmas, and I said Santa's not real.
Oh yeah, you did bum me out pretty hard with that, and then also.
But you have to admit, you were prepared when she died a couple days later. You were like, well.
Yeah, no, I didn't have the negative. I didn't have the reaction everybody else did because you told me she was dead.
I'm not laughing at the fact that Princess Leia is brain dead. I'm just laughing at the fact that the.
Listen, if the death happens in two steps, George might. Sorry, I'm fucking.
Step one, you inhale old pants. Step two, you're found dead the next day.
I think I'm getting an allergic reaction to the stuff around me. Anyways, I don't want to sound like a dying
luckily,
leper. Let me get a tissue. God damn it.
I'm going to add a heart monitor sound effect in the background.
You ever worry as you're moving around that you'll hit your head on something?
You ever worry that you're going to slip and smash your brain stem on a counter? You ever think about that?
Yeah. When George Michael died, isn't it funny that his song is called Last Christmas? That fucked me up. That fucked up my Christmas.
I was watching that a couple of days before, like the day before he fucking went to hospital. Yeah, I was like, whoa, dude. Whoa, fucking we were listening nuts. To
Why did he die?
His fucking brain stopped. The electricity in his brain ceased.
Was he a drug addict or something?
Let's see. I think he inhaled one big aid. Let me look. George Michael. They couldn't figure out what he was dead from. There you go, folks.
That's a shame. Well, if you can find out what he's dead from, please let us know.
Please tweet at us very violently.
with George Michael hashtag at least three times.
Say this is real. Yeah, George Michael. Say this is real. This is what his death is from.
Please, a couple autopsy photos.
Please go to celebrityautopsyphoto.com and show me the inside of JFK's head.
Oh, God. Is that a real picture, by the way?
Yeah, it's fucking that's an upsetting picture, by the way.
That's a real picture?
It's never been debunked from what I know.
It's a pretty fucked up picture.
It's fucking disgusting. That whole website
I've never actually clicked it, but I've seen like thumbnails of that JFK on the autopsy table photo. It upsets me.
I think it's real. He got fucked up, man.
You could say that again.
He got a little owie. Okay.
How
did we get onto this?
What I don't know. We're talking about. Oh, I think I said I had a shrine to Carrie Fisher in my basement, in my closet.
So Carrie Fisher, JFK's brain hole. What were you talking about?
JFK's brain hole.
Oh, yeah, Mario plushies. Let's go back to that. Let's
Mario Party?
Mario Party.
Mario Run, the new great app on App Store. Please, it features 100% of new enemy Goomba.
Goomba, big mushroom.
Goomba, Koopa, mushroom, and Bowser. And this is a very new game, 100% new.
And it's only $10 per 1 second of every walk. In the words of the nerd, what were they thinking?
Wow.
You ever see Game Dude? Angry Game Dude?
He is the Game Dude. Yeah, dude. He is so rude.
In the nerds of the world, what were they thinking?
He is a gamer with a bad attitude. Oh, yeah, does he say that?
Yeah. Is he dead? What happened to that guy? Is he a brother?
Yeah, what the fuck? Who is Game Dude? Where is he from? Why? Where did he go? He straight up was like, fuck this shit. He saw what happened to Chris Boris. He said, fuck this shit, I'm out. And he just bailed
Chris
from Boris the scene.
Chris Boris fucking completely destroyed his channel and made it a ghost hunting channel now. Do you know that?
Listen, when Chris Boris isn't posting about Jew Warriors fucking not going
what
to heaven.
What the fuck was... okay, so people who...
Did you ever see that? I feel like this is worth talking about.
Yeah, no, please, John, you take it away, because the people...
So Chris Chris Forrest, fucking irate gamer. If you don't know him, it's a great. Just look it up. You'll be very impressed. My favorite is his deleted soy milk review. Look, be on the lookout for that one.
What do you see?
Maybe somebody reposted that bad boy.
You're gonna wonder why I took it down.
You're gonna say we should have posted this one twice. Anyways, so Jewario, if you don't know him, he was a person from Channel Awesome. He did like reviews. He had a show called You Can Play This, where he reviewed like Japanese import games that you could play or whatever. He spoke Japanese, I think. And then he killed himself. It was a big tragic debacle. This was a couple years back. 4 years? 3 years back? And I don't know how many people know this, but I find it to be so bizarre. I actually don't know how many people. I might be like uncovering this for a lot of people, but the irate gamer. Like, I don't know how many people even know, you know, about this intersection of people, Chris Boar's Jewario lexicon. But anyways, so, yeah, he posted on the, I think it was the announcement of, or somebody had announced Jewario's passing, and he posted on a Facebook post that was like, "It is tragic to lose a life in this community of YouTube gamers. But I am not looking forward to what Jewario awaits burning in hell for committing suicide."
No, yeah, the universe does not take kindly to what he did, basically. Was the gist
The universe does not take kindly to those who take their lives.
It was a weird implication that he's burning in hell. It was really not too subtle, though. There's no nuance.
Man, just some shit you could only see on the weird side of YouTube. Oh, man.
Are you saying the creator of Deleted Soy Milk Review believes a man is burning in hell from suicide? Is that the gist of what you were telling me, John?
I don't know. He goes around looking for ghosts. What's wrong? No, anyways, it's kind of a fucked up story, but it's just so ridiculous.
It's fucking bizarre. It was just so left field because he's just like this pink man, this pink funny man who does the reviews.
I know. Who talks about Aladdin Abu in the Aladdin Genesis game. No, I think he's just really religious, but anyways.
So we can segue to a few. We can take this fork and we can go a few different ways. I guess my question to you, interestingly, would be... I don't know why I said interestingly. It's not fucking interesting. But my question to you, John, would be, as a reviewer, kind of going back to, you're one of the guys who kind of broke format a little bit. What are your thoughts on the whole reviewing aspect of YouTube now? Because I'll say this. I've seen plenty of JonTron knockoffs, and I don't know... I mean, I'm not asking you to name anybody or call anybody out, but what do you kind of think of that, of the community as a whole, in terms of that?
I mean... I think as the whole knockoff thing, I mean, I was considered a knockoff of AVGN when I started. And, you know, that whole paradigm has shifted. I don't even think there is such a thing anymore. Like, I think YouTube has even progressed past this review thing that was really popular back in the early or the late 2000s, early 2010 era. That was just the thing to do. Like, nobody had been doing that kind of stuff besides AVGN and a couple other people. And, we're past that. I mean, we've seen like the influx of YouTubers like, you know, Ethan and Gila, like H3. Our beautiful. Love ya. Yeah. Love ya, guys. Love ya.
Gosh bless.
Miss ya every day. I have a shrine to you and Carrie Fisher in my closet.
What do you? Is that hopefully that's not indicative of anything.
Oh, nothing at all. No, but seriously. You know, they came in with their sort of started off as kind of a reaction channel, which is sort of a play off the review thing, but it's different, you know, fundamentally. And then they kind of morphed it into this newer kind of just variety show type thing. And, you know, PewDiePie has been doing more of that stuff, and you got like people like iDubbbz. So we're sort of past this reviewer paradigm. I don't even know that it's so oversaturated, and I don't think anybody can even really get into that sphere anymore. Nobody's interested in that anymore. It's just kind of a phase that's passed.
It evolved, yeah.
It did evolve, yeah. I mean, at first, basically...
It's all like top 10 things now, dude.
Yeah, that's the thing. You see, it was never about the review of the game. It was about the you know, people liked watching, like, their people that they thought were interesting personalities kind of in a new setting on the internet, and it's like, oh, you know, when you know somebody and it's only you who knows it, it's kind of edgy, right? It's like, that's why, it's funny, every YouTube channel that starts off, they always have this core fan base that gets pissed off at a certain point. I went through this, too, when they kind of feel that you surpassed a certain level of popularity, they get sort of like,
well, they root you on until you get popular, and then they want to see you fucking fall, and they, you know, they
But it's weird how that works.
You survived the, because I also feel like is you know you brought up a couple of guys earlier that you sort of were riding the not off their coattails but sort of you jumped there at the perfect time when they were popular, like guys like Nostalgia Critic and
yeah Walker, actually they were kind of, I jumped in when AVGN took kind of a lull, and I always looked at YouTube channels as more of a philosophy than anything. Like, I have a certain philosophy of the way I make stuff. It's not, I don't think it's ever been about the reviews themselves. Maybe a little bit. Maybe some channels more than others. I've never been a true critic in that sense. I just try to make comedy out of stuff.
No, you're
successful.
You're a comedian who kind of just fell into that thing. I mean, that's actually, again, if you were going to make a criticism, or not even a criticism, but if you were really going to analyze the sort of first generation guys like Doug Walker and James Rolfe, who, you know, I watched sort of back when they were doing stuff.
They've
tried to break format, they've gotten a lot of shit for it. Like Doug Walker specifically got a bunch of fucking backlash when he stopped the Soldier Critic.
Yeah.
And I think what you did smart was that you have a transferable sort of personality. Like for example, when you did Game Grumps or when you.
Well, I appreciate
you saying that. You know what I mean? You get the gist of...
No, I appreciate that. I mean, that's what I go for. I mean, I don't want to be locked down into any, like, format or show or a routine. You know, I just want to... I want to be myself, the
comedian.
Especially
when those formats have been shown to be really fucking volatile.
Leafy can be volatile.
Leafy's fucking channel is basically dead by now.
What's Leafy up to? I haven't heard from him in forever.
He got really popular, I would say, about a year ago.
I remember, but
he got popular around when that whole Ethan thing happened, and then back when I was in New York, right around that time when I moved to New York a year ago,
is that when?
Yeah, because that's when the whole Ethan thing happened. I was there for that, but so that right around, and then like when IWS made that video probably 3 or 4 months ago, his channel took a big hit, and then I think a couple other people made videos, and it's like he went from getting like 100 million views a month to like 10 or 15. He was making he's still doing. Yeah, look at his Social Blade. I mean, he's not doing. He's still doing like.
Oh my god! His stats are tanked.
No, they're the worst they've been since 2015, I think.
His stats are like sub 1 million, and you know, I remember for a while there he was getting all these sorts of crazy views.
He's been bleeding out subscribers for like the last 6 months consecutively, or three or four months.
That's crazy. Well, you know, see, that's why whenever people come to me and they talk about this guy is falling with that kind of stuff, I'm like, fads come and go. You know, the thing that always rains out in the end is, well, quality will speak for itself. The best you can do is aim for quality. Because, like, who forgets something that's good in the long run? Like, is anybody forgetting? I'm not comparing myself to this or anything. I'm just saying, in as a general rule, does anyone, forget Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki? No one's going to be like, where's the new Spirited Away video? It's like a classic,
There's two big ways of... And I actually got to give you credit for this, too. There's two sort of...
Well, thanks, Zach!
Hey, look, I mean it. Look, I'll tell you why. Look, there's two ways in my mind of making YouTube content. There's the one way of just kind of throwing shit at the wall until one of those, like, 10 videos sticks and does well, or sort of accumulating views. Every video gets 50,000 views or whatever, and that just sort of pays your bills. That's one way to do it. That's
right.
Way.
Some people
and
do
then,
that, yeah.
And then there's the way of doing videos once every 2 or 3 weeks, but they're good, and they put a lot of quality into them. And honestly, not that many people do that and make a living off of it. And that's why I got to give you kudos, because it's really easy to fall into the fucking disposable cover.
Yeah.
Hell,
well, no,
I
appreciate that. Yeah. No, I mean, you're like that too, though. You know, I think there's like, and you know, I'm not, this isn't to say there isn't an in-between. Like, Ethan and Gila put out quality content, like, a lot. You know, I envy them. I've always envied them for that. I don't know how they do it. I'm a slow burn kind of guy. I won't tell you it's easy. You know, it's like, I have to make at least one thing per month most months, and it doesn't leave much time for breaks. And people are always saying like, "Whoa, why don't you put stuff out?" I'm like, "I'm trying."
Like I said, so for those who don't know, I was in New York. I lived in New York with John and Ethan from last January a year ago to March of last year, and I got a little glimpse, a little window of that world, and it's fucking stressful, dude. I don't know how you. You were literally doing shit. I'm not just covering your ass. Like, I mean this genuinely.
Yeah.
You were doing shit constantly. Like, you were constantly setting up shit. If you didn't have assistants or people to help you out, you'd be dead.
No, there's no way to do it.
No.
There's no way to do it. And sometimes it takes a toll on my health, or like I'm just like, there's just times when it's like you don't want to be funny. You know, some people, I find that there's like a couple different types of people. Some people are like infinitely passionate about what they do. I'm a guy who goes in waves. Like, I'll find one thing to be passionate.
You got finite passions, what you're saying.
I guess you got some finite passion. Some finite. No, it's not quite that. I get interested in things in bursts. Like, I'm a bit of a jack of all trades in a sense. But obviously I have the channel that's a certain thing, and I have to keep. So I try to keep putting myself into it in the same but slightly different way to keep myself interested. Because if I'm interested, the audience will be. So on. But like, you know, sometimes I just get interested in like researching like the history of Rome, like things that have nothing to do with reviewing video games.
I think it's a good trait to have. It's a good. I'm the same way. Like in terms of. And I think people get mad at me sometimes. Like, why the fuck do you pretend to you know history? It's like I don't know history. Yeah. I have a weird autistic fascination with some like small parts of it, and then I'll go and then I find it fascinating.
No, it's actually funny. This is something me and you have bonded over many times. Like we talk about like, you know, like World War II era history, and I don't know. There's something about history. I've always considered myself somewhat of a history buff, maybe not so much when I was in school, but like when I got older. I just find history interesting because you can find patterns or echoes to the modern day, and you can sort of sort out like how things have risen and fell, and it comes in waves.
Well,
and,
history never like ends in them for the most part. Like ISIS are around because of the fucking Ottoman Empire collapsing. That's a direct cause and effect.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, if you understand history, you can. Well, they say what you're. Those who don't understand history are doomed to repeat it. There's a lot of truth to that statement. Actually, it is weird. I remember watching when they were doing the Oculus keynote for the Oculus Rift virtual reality. One of the guys I forgot who it was. It's like one of their leading scientists was talking about how like history is not necessarily. Like, we can change history, we can decide the course of history, but it will not necessarily go one way or the other. There's no, like, set path, and it's kind of interesting. You wonder, like, how much agency do we have over these changes?
I feel like very little, because I feel like humans reset sort of every two generations or so. You know what I mean? Like, It seems that way. Like, even from, like life to life, like, a baby has to relearn not to fucking... put its hand in the stove and not do crazy drugs and drive fast when you're, you know what I mean? Like, so
it's all a bit tiring to think about, isn't it? Just like, it's like a house, right? You clean it up, you're like, it's perfect, and then you have a party and it gets dirty again, and you're like, I gotta fucking clean it again. It's like, I gotta train new babies not to fucking ruin Western civilization again.
What fucking freaks me out is like, not on an individual human basis, but stuff like wars, like people, if you were just coming off the end of World War II.
Yeah.
You'd be like, dude, I genuinely never want to fucking do this again. My house is
definitely
shit. And now people are like, whatever, I'd go to fucking war. I'd be on the front lines, dude. It's like, dude.
Oh, I know.
You have to keep
it's
fucking
funny.
Relearning.
No, it's funny. The Great War, World War I, the reason Neville Chamberlain capitulated to Adolf Hitler, as you know, is because he was afraid of getting into another world war.
Yeah,
so because they just came off that war and they had so much guilt over it that they were like, never again. This is the war to end all wars. We'll never have war again. And then this fucking capitulated until it ended up in being the biggest conflict in human history. So it's like, it is funny how now we've been, they call it the long peace since the end of World War II to now. There hasn't been any... conflict between two major world powers. It's only been civil war.
I think it's going to happen in our lifetime. I'm not a psycho. My view.
You really think so?
I'll say this right now. My real view is that if NATO falls, we're going to see a European war in our lifetime for sure. I really believe that. Let me sort of add like a little bit of an edit to my statement there. I think that'll happen, but so there's two parts to that statement. Number one, if NATO falls, it's like a code, right, for a video game. If NATO falls, then I think we'll have a European war. But I also don't think we're gonna have a nuclear war. I'm also not saying we're gonna have a big nuclear war. I don't think we'll ever go that far. I think the only way a nuclear war could happen today is if we had like an accident, or a nuclear terrorism or something, or just some sort of weird mishap. But I don't. I really don't believe secular, for the most part, secular Western civilizations would purposely start a nuclear war. I don't believe that.
We might even go to war under the treaty of no nukes. Like, okay, we're gonna go to war, but no nukes.
And that has
just a regular war.
That has all of its own problems too, because like, imagine if Hitler had nukes at the end of the war.
We wouldn't be here.
Well, we wouldn't have gone into fucking Berlin because he's going, well, I'm gonna blow my goddamn brains out anyways. Why don't I just nuke these fuckers? So you can't like. So that's also my biggest fear with North Korea, right? Not that, yeah, they start a war, whatever, we can beat them. Like, we have the resources to do that. But we can't close in and fucking capture Pyongyang because he's just going to fucking shoot off the nukes and blow his brains out.
Right, yeah. You know, I think that's the reason. This is just obvious, I think. There's pretty much no other reason that things have ground to the breaking point that they have now in 2017, but in previous 2016, the current year. Because we have just been fighting off the thought of World War III, just pushing it like, no, we can't, just nothing that even could spark or think about World War III, just push it away. Like, because we know, like, we've basically just been trying to stave off that final of conflicts. But I don't know, it's definitely closer now than it's been since at least the Cold War.
I feel like the fact that everybody doesn't want it to happen is making the other party sort of push further because everyone thinks the other guy is bluffing. So you're going, you don't think I'm going to do it? Fine, I'll drop a fucking tactical nuke. Oh, you don't think I'd do that?
Well, okay.
Let me drop in the field somewhere. Let me freak somebody out.
I'll be naive and ask you. You honestly, you don't believe a word of Vladimir Putin when he says he wants peace with the United States?
I believe he does, but I also believe that his biggest goal beyond peace with the U.S. is NATO coming apart. Now, you could argue pretty easily, in fact, that Russia feels threatened because NATO is expanding. At the same time, when people say NATO is expanding, it's only expanding as much as people are applying for it. It's not like NATO's gobbling up countries. We're not invading countries. Fucking scared neighbors are applying to NATO because they want to be protected. They don't want to be. They see what's happening in Ukraine.
They don't want to be annexed.
They don't want their territory fucking annexed. They don't want to be Georgia or Ukraine.
Well, I guess, so what is Russia's ulterior motive in dismantling NATO is what, just so they don't have to feel like they could be attacked at the slightest?
Right, yeah, they don't have to feel slightest. Like if they drop a fucking twig that they're going to start World War III.
I mean, I guess imagine had we been Russia, like, I guess it's true, like, imagine, like, you feel cornered, like, you're like, I can't do anything to anybody, no matter what, even if they're being unjust to me.
Well, you could also argue that the threat of World War III,
I'm going to storm into Paris and rip up that Treaty of Versailles.
Flag. Nice flag, idiots.
Yeah.
But.
Nice flag. What is it? Nice flag. Couple of stripes and stars.
Real fucking
try
genius.
This one. Hammer and sickle. What is even the hammer and sickle? Is that anvils and shucking corn? Great flag, Russia.
It's about fucking cutting down crops and the working boy. The working Russian boy who looks like a 30-year-old woman.
There was this big ad in Times Square where it was like, communism kills, total deaths from communism, 100 million. And it had this big infographic. It was really like, well done. And I was like, what the hell? Who's just like, I need to educate about communism?
You're fucking 30 years too late there, dude. You're really put it to all those 6,000 Cubans who are not going to see this.
Yeah. It's crazy how see, that's the weird thing, right? So there's two kinds of Western nations, European nations, and you can consider the United States, Australia, and
Canada
as extensions. Yeah, New Zealand. You can consider these as extensions. There seem to be two kinds, primarily. One, the Western democracies, like, or the republics. I don't know what you would call them. Like, whatever a democratic republic. What do we have? What do you call this? Capitalism?
We have an oligarchy, John. Get used to it.
Oligarchy. Well, nowadays, I guess it is. I don't know. Nowadays,
I'm doing a new documentary, but how wrong you are, John.
I know. Whenever people like, it's actually classified as an oligarch,
I'm doing a little documentary called The United States of Oligarchy. It's called The United States of Money, and there's dollar bills where the stars used to be.
Don't you love those documentaries where it's like, fucking Noam Chomsky with like an 8K resolution all the way up in his face. And he's like, the American government is coming for a collapse. We'll see it in the next 20 years. Everybody always tries to bring these things back to macro or microeconomics when it's like never been about that. The culture is more important than the economics. Because when you look at it, the economics is based... I mean, economics, of course, are important. It's not like... It's obviously a real thing, but...
You have to have people who believe a certain way, who believe that you could... That anybody...
It's a belief.
Basically.
Yeah. All the economy is just a set of projected... It's a set of projected beliefs, really. It's what it is, like, to keep... to people. Like, I never really liked these weird arguments, like... The government just wants to keep you enslaved. I'm like, no, come on. It's not. It's ridiculous. But, like, you know, an economic system is just a set of beliefs held by many people that, like, this system won't fail. Okay, so this is going to sound ridiculous, but I remember one of my first lessons in economics was when me and my my cousins would play Kirby's Air Ride, the GameCube game with Kirby and the Shooting Star spaceship.
Yeah, a real classic in American economics. In fact, I heard Ronald Reagan study that game very closely.
There's a free ride mode where you and like four players could go around and just do whatever in a sandbox mode. And we came up with Monopoly money with this economic system where like we would pay each other to do services in the world. It was really dumb, but it was fun. And at the end of the day, I was like, oh, this shit it's just made up. Like, I'm just like, well, if you do that for me, I'll promise you these pieces of paper. And then it keeps of course, in a four-person closed system, it doesn't go very far. But if you extrapolate it, it really is what the economy is.
Wait, hold on one second. There's a fucking baby outside my door.
Fucking what? Wait, really?
I heard a baby laughing. Unless it's my schizophrenia.
Wait.
Give me one second.
Wait, real quick, Zach. I know this is crazy, but I heard that there's a scheme where people put, like, baby sounds outside of a door to get you to open it and then rob you.
Don't say that.
Be careful.
Is that real? Are you fucking with
I've heard, yeah, that's real. So that's real, so be careful with that.
Where did you hear that from?
I don't know. I read it online once. I just wanted to know why you to open the door and get robbed.
They put a baby sound effects? Is it a man making noises or is it like a boombox?
No, like a boombox.
Oh,
is it still there?
No, it stopped. Maybe it was my schizophrenia. I think you shut it off.
Okay, it probably was. I just didn't want you to go open the door to baby noises. I've heard that happens.
Yeah, Zach. But you know that's a real good friend. I don't want you to open the door to baby noises. If your friend tells you that, you know you got a good friend on your hands. That's what a real brother in arms says.
Well, I mean, if it's a real baby, then help it. But I didn't want you to just mindlessly open the door.
It didn't need help. It was having a good time. It was laughing. It wasn't crying. He was laughing at this podcast.
I just went full grandpa Facebook infographic fearmonger mode.
You went full
there.
Fucking compressed image of a minion saying, "Don't open the door for baby noises, or you'll get stabbed in the mouth."
Don't sit down on the HIV needle in the theater seat.
If
you ever get those fucking
nails? If you're sitting on the bus stop, some guy might run up to you and stab you with an AIDS needle. Be careful. Be careful. He'll say, gotcha.
I just he'll be like, gotcha. You should have been careful.
It's a prank.
Don't sit on the bus. That's why you don't sit on the bus. No, but anyways, so besides that.
Yeah, besides that.
You know, it's really great that on public transit, you know, they have plastic seating so that any bums that vomit all over will be easily clean. Any fucking blood from a bum's neck that gets slid open.
somebody walks by casually, holds a knife and just barely pokes his neck like a camel being drained for the blood.
Oh no, not the camel video, not the camel video.
John, would you weep if you saw a boy laughing and somebody walked up to him and just poked his neck and that happened to him? Would you weep from that?
Am I going to some sort of shock?
No, here's a real scenario, John. You're at a convention. You're having a good time. You know, some guy says, I have really bad Asperger's, but please don't look at me in the eyes. And you say, this is a great time.
Fuck.
You say, this is swell. And somebody walks up to you and says, you cut me in line. And they take their nail and they poke him in the neck and he begins to bleed out. Would you help this boy? What would John try to do?
Oh, my God.
There's...
Well, I'd probably try to plug up the wound as best I could until the EMTs got there. What the fuck is wrong with you, by the way, Zach?
Would you put a Game Grumps sticker on his neck to help?
Zach, what is wrong with you and I love it? What is wrong with you and I love it? I was trying to talk about macroeconomics here. You're talking about putting a push pin into an Asperger's boy's neck. come far in a couple of years. I'm talking about Reaganomics, trickle down, trickle up, Reaganomics.
I'm
over
talking
here.
About boys' neck trickle down. That's all I'm talking about.
You're talking about a boy. You talking about a boy bleeding out, saying, "Episode 6 of Sonic 06 was my favorite."
Mom, Jotron.
Zach,
you.
We're gonna die this way.
You plug his wound by wrapping his shirt. On his neck is a tourniquet that says "Echo" on it with your face as his blood, red as it stains as it stains your smile. John, here's one last.
I hope my kids will listen to this.
Here's one last scenario for you. Would you feel good or bad if you saw one of those like Syrian airstrike pictures, but the boy was wearing a Jotron shirt? Would you feel good or bad about that?
What the fuck? Honestly, I don't know what I would
think. Can we get an official statement from Jotron?
I think my first thought would be, I don't ship to Syria.
This little Syrian boy is fucking bleeding you out. Maybe he's bleeding out in real life, but he's bleeding your wallet out.
He's bleeding me out.
Because...
Yeah, you add me for my first thought. You get that from Redbubble? You're bleeding out. They're bleeding me out. Same joke you said. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you so much. Everyone have a good night. Hey, John, let's do it. Live from Saturday. Wait, how do they say it?
Live from Saturday, York. New. Anyways, what were you? We were talking about something real.
Live from Saturday. I have a white van in Times Square. This is a direct threat.
Do you remember that video when ISIS was like, "We are going to come blow up Times Square," and they never fucking did it?
Is that the video where the dude like put a bomb inside his fucking jacket? We cut to him like walking by a Starbucks.
Yeah, and he zipped it up, and then he put on his Tony Danza glasses and went, "Hey, I'm from Brooklyn. Hey,
it's me.
Coming,
what do you got?
Hey,
can I have some pepperoni?"
Okay, let's get back on track here. What were we saying before all this?
Starcade.
Oh, you want to talk about Starcade? Did you want to move it
let's
to something?
Let's talk about Starcade a little bit. Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit. For those who don't know, Starcade was a Jotron offshoot where Jotron sold out big time. Lost all credibility.
That was a nightmare. No, you know what's funny, though? I've come to really like Starcade, but it was... It was a weird process to make Starcade for multiple reasons, and I think it's because everyone who was creating that show had a different idea of what the fuck Starcade was.
Yeah. It's
funny.
I
can talk about it now, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've never actually talked about it, and I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, you want to get the scoop on Starcade?
Starcade scoop.
I won't go into the gory details, but this is basically, just so people get maybe if they want to understand what it was, Disney and... I'm not supposed to say that, but I don't care. Disney.
Well, it's pretty fucking obvious. I mean.
Yeah. Well, people, because I want people to understand this. They didn't want me to say this for some reason. I wasn't allowed to say that Disney funded this. But Disney, who bought Maker Studios for like $500 million a couple years back, they merged with Maker. And they had a vertical. They have many verticals, Disney, or whatever you call it. Like, they've got partnerships with all sorts of different companies to make all sorts of different licensed stuff. And they wanted to make YouTube Star Wars content for
Force Awakens. They were going to do a bunch of lead-up stuff.
Yeah,
right?
For the Force Awakens, like a lead-up for like the entire year of Star Wars. And this was before... This was like... I think they came at me like before a year, right? And
it
I
was
like...
It was February 2015.
And the movie came out in December, right?
Right.
Yeah, but we decided to do it like even like before that, like December or January, right? Must have been, right?
You know what? We started in February. We actually started writing in February. So, yeah, I think it was December or January. You're right.
Well, it was something like that. It was about a year before the movie came out. And I was like, oh, my God, I get to be part of... And they were like, we'll build you a Millennium Falcon. We'll build you everything you want, all the sets you want. And I was like, oh, my God, it's a dream come true. And, they were just like, you get to write whatever you want, do whatever you want. And I was like, that's great. Amazing. Fantastic. And I thought, like, it'd be cool, because I'm such a big Star Wars fan, I thought it'd be cool to be part of, like, the Star Wars canon in some way. I was like, you know. But then what I didn't realize, this is before Star Wars made its big comeback, and now it's, like, planned 6 million movies for the next 18 years. Everyone started doing Star Wars stuff. Everyone. And I should have been smart to anticipate that, but I was so blinded by the promise of a Millennium Falcon. So basically, I thought I was going to be like the cool kid doing the Star Wars content when it turns out that they had like deals with everyone, which isn't a bad thing because mine was still had a big budget and, you know, it was my writing. So, but you see, at first they wanted more episodes, but then as time went on, they wanted them very quickly.
Also, I should be noted really quickly, just to interject. Tell them how many episodes, because originally, I think we ended up doing like nine.
Yeah, they wanted like 32 episodes of this shit or something.
32 episodes of fucking Star Wars jokes.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how set they were on that. So I thought they were kind of going to be flexible just to get it done, because it sounded like they just wanted something. I got myself in over my head. It was definitely my fault there. I got myself in over my head, but I was like, I just can't produce this much for you guys.
Well,
it's impossible.
We figured that out after we started writing.
We tried. Yeah. I don't know what the hell we were thinking.
Well,
it's my fault.
But in fairness, so people don't think we ripped them off. They also cut the budget accordingly too. So it's not like we got the money and just didn't do the work.
Yeah.
John called and was like, we can't do 32.
Yeah, and they
and they said okay, and they cut the fucking budget.
Yeah, they cut the budget. They cut all the pay. It was a bit of a fiasco. But we got it done, and we did, you know. But we came. Here's the thing, though. Even though it's ended with less episodes, we had the idea of the start to finish since the very beginning. So it was true to its form. The first three episodes are from the first batch, and then the ones leading up to the very end are from the second batch, where I was like, okay, I'm taking full control of this, and we're going to do it this way.
The first few was a lot of out of your hands. Like, the writing we did, but the editing and like all that stuff was really not in your control.
The first three episodes of Starcade weren't really in my direct control. The ones 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, I guess, those were all completely
four
in my control.
4 and 5, if I recall, were kind of in a weird middle ground where you were still kind of, it was sort of a...
Yeah, we had to transition, so it ended up being this really incoherent series of videos that, well, I guess I wouldn't have it any other way. That's the way the way I operate. But, you know, considering that it wasn't a real television show and it was a YouTube show, you know, it didn't fall under the same rules and the same procedures. So, and they wanted it very quickly. I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that we even got it done at all. We filmed it over 3 months.
It's shocking.
Honestly, is it not shocking that we got that done? And I couldn't do any... I was bound to do it. I couldn't do anything else.
It's funny. When you and I were watching the episodes come out, there was a lot of jokes in there we were both happy with. But
yeah,
some people are just not happy, and fair enough, like, I get it.
No, I understood why.
But you and
like,
I were
why
both
the fuck did
like,
JonTron turn
both,
Star
like,
Wars for a year?
The whole thing was like kind of relied upon the last episode being good. We're like, holy fuck. And I think that last episode made up for the whole... So even if you didn't enjoy the first eight, I think that last episode definitely made up for the whole series.
Yeah, no, the last episode was the fucking magnum opus of that series. We poured everything we had in that last episode. That was down to the wire, too.
That George Lucas impression... from the
very, yeah, you were gonna originally do it, and then
we got Pjort Michael, YouTube impressionist, I believe.
He did a wonderful job. I didn't even interact with the guy.
No,
I never even interacted with him.
What happened was, originally the audio of Starcade of George Lucas was me going, come on, it's really
yeah.
And I was like, John, this is funny, but it's kind of like, it would be better if it sounded like George Lucas, but. What the fuck are we going to do? We have like one day to get this out. And I fucking Googled, YouTube searched George Lucas impression.
Yeah, and you found the perfect guy.
And I found that guy that I knew his work before. I knew he was an impressionist before. That dude was a fucking trooper. And the whole thing just stitched together fucking beautifully. And the soundtrack was great.
Chris O'Neill did the soundtrack.
Yeah, it was great.
Chris O'Neill did the soundtrack. He helped us write it as well. And he also, he was present for some of the filming, like in the very last, he was just there because he stopped by. And he did the Jar Jar Binks fake game, the fake PS1 game, which a lot of people probably think is real. Yeah, Jar Jar's Jar Jar Jar, I think it was.
Yeah.
Jar 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 Jar. Sick. I actually really like that joke. There's a lot of jokes in Starcade I love, but Starcade has this weird vibe to it.
It's uncanny.
What do you mean?
You look like a hostage. Something's wrong. Something's off. Something's going wrong. My brain rejects it.
I don't think that – I honestly don't think most people would notice that.
No.
We just know. So
yeah.
It was definitely an experience. The filming of that was – but in the end, we came away with a good thing there. I think it's one of my most proud videos, the last episode
of
Starcade.
And also, for real, like the fan reaction, the people figuring out who Darth Vader was really cool. Just people were genuinely like – some people fucking really, really reacted to that. Some people were like, I'm crying. I was like, whoa, dude.
I know. Dude, I had real feels when I made that shit. Because, the Aaron reuniting, of course.
Yeah, no, it was good. And also, the improv you guys did, which is funny to talk about, what you guys saw, the actual final cut, there was like, you guys riffed for like 20 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah, and it was so weird. It was just like right back into it.
You kept, it's like there was no hesitation. you kept doing this weird fucking, like, distressed foreign boy. What did you... You kept saying something, beating his chest.
Oh, was it like... Brief with me!
Yeah.
Brief with me! Brief to me! Or something.
I was upset you took it out, but I realized it was fucking really strange and like it was bizarre.
Yeah, it was too weird.
I don't think people would have accepted that.
Brief to me, papa!
Brief, that's it. Brief to me! Brief to me!
Brief to me! Brief
yeah,
to me!
That was it.
Yeah, I always get weird like that when I'm doing improv, because I just go for it, and it's funny. Like, sometimes I watch back at, like, Game Grumps stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck was I on when I said this? Like, we're talking about how I wouldn't have sex with a girl with no eyes, and I'm like, what led to this?
Yeah.
What sparking of neurons led to this fucking madness?
Human evolution led up to this point.
This was what all
fucking
the fucking...
Fish avoided getting eaten.
All the wars in Europe led up to this moment.
A Roman soldier looking into a man's eyes as he gets speared to death. So he could pave the way for you to fucking say that on Game Grumps.
God, do you ever think, like, when you... You know, it's like fucking ancient Rome. I just love how there was a time, like 2,500 years ago, before Christ, when they're just like, yeah, we just like, this is the apex of civilization. We did it. Nice job, guys.
I mean, if you look at what stuff was like back then, it was like, yeah, you lived in a fucking dirt, but these guys like built giant. But I was watching a documentary.
Nice.
On that revolving building.
You know, had a revolving building?
There was a fucking, like, Oh, God, what is... I feel like a retard right now. I'm going to look it up.
There's no way they had a revolving building in ancient Rome. What are you talking about?
No, it was revolving. It ran
like the
water.
Fucking Sky restaurant in Times Square that revolves slowly as you eat
exactly
fucking
like
the buffet?
Ancient
are you serious?
Revolving building. What is it called? Emperor Nero. Fucking, he had a revolving dining room.
How? Who, slaves?
No, it was like water. I'm pretty sure it was like hydro-powered.
What the fuck?
Dude, look it up. It's fucking... My mind was blown. Like, the Colosseum alone fucking freaks me out.
The Colosseum? Why the Colosseum?
It's so fucking big. There was like little men with rocks. And they
yeah,
built
I
a
guess
big
so.
Fucking thing. I don't...
Revolving dining room in... Type That's why whenever it. People... Whenever... It's one thing that pisses me off. When people like... Look at the 1920s and like... They're so backwards. I'm like, build your fucking civilization you live in. How are they fucking backwards? They fought the First World War and invented planes. You dumb. What have you done? Eat a fucking Cheetos this morning?
I don't. Here, give me 1 second. I had a bunch of Red Bull and coffee. Forgive me.
It's fine. I'm looking at the revolving dining room.
I am Bethany. Daddy.
God, Zach.
John, let's do some improv right now, okay?
Okay. Wow. Hello, it is me. I am at the doctor's office with you, the doctor.
Hey, man, look, I got these results back. You got a big fucking tumor inside your brain. You wonder why you're seeing blue streaks everywhere? You wonder why you're seeing blue lines everywhere? It's because this baseball-sized brain tumor.
I thought it was the God telling me a message.
No, you're wrong. You wonder why your face jutted out one whole foot? It was because of this big tumor. Trust me, I am a doctor.
Wow. Am I going to die?
Oh, I don't know.
Fucking Abbott and Costello. Regular Abbott and Costello
Costello. That's a classic bill we just reenacted. Please help me. There's a real pain behind my eyes. Jesus Christ. All the lights I look at have a big smear to them. I think something's wrong.
Hold on. I'm looking at this water palace.
Hey, let's play a crazy sound effect. John, say it's crazy again. Let's play a crazy guitar strum.
Wow, that... All right, hit it up. Hit it up, Jack.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we've been going at this for a good while. You know, John, I appreciate
you
being here.
Yeah.
Don't ever talk to me again. My name's Tony.
I was walking through New York City, and I saw a boy. And I said to this boy, where's your dada? Where's
your mama? God, Zach. You fucking monster. You fucking alien.
That's what I said to a real child.
Anyways, sorry, go on. What? Yeah, did you want to draw this to a close? Am I too fucking...
No. What I wanted to do was, you know, I have a Patreon, John. So we have some questions from my patrons, and I'm just going to go ahead And these are all, warning to you, John, these are all epic.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Negative Zero asks, I want John's input on this. Oh, Christ. Now, is sucking your own dick gay?
Oh, this is a question for the ages. This is honestly among the great Socratian, Aristotelian questions of our era. Does sucking your own dick make you gay?
No. Is the act gay itself? Sucking your own dick is
the act. Does it make you gay? Is the act gay?
Is it gay
to suck your own dick?
Yes.
Well, you have to look into this in a multifaceted approach. One. Is your mouth just like a hand on your face, okay? Or are you really enjoying sliding up and down on your own?
Here's my argument for
this.
I'll make it real snappy, but my argument is if you can have a hard cock in your mouth and stay hard, might be a little bit gay.
But
it'd be like fucking your own ass.
But it's not gay, because gay means you want another man. This is the same man.
but you're the sensation of a cock. What's the difference between that and someone? What's the difference between that and a guy sucking your dick while another guy fucks your mouth? How is that any different?
It's a little different.
I mean, on a close your eyes.
Two more guys.
There's not just
one more, but two more guys in that scenario. It's a little bit different. I would say semi-gay. It's a semi-gay
okay.
act.
The verdict is in. John, there they have
a voice. Ding, ding. We should do a segment like this where we take questions like this and we have, like, the verdict.
This segment's called The Verdict, okay?
That'd be fun. We should do that.
Cameron Dubell says, what mentality would you develop if I told you you were going to go skydive in 5 minutes?
What kind of mentality would I develop?
How would you grapple with this horrifying fact?
Oh, I'd be really scared. That's not something I'm cool with.
I walk up to you right now and say, we're going skydiving in 5 minutes, and you're going
to
go.
I'd really start to, and it's going to happen for sure?
I'm going to drag you.
I'd freak out. I'd really freak out. I'm not that kind
of
guy.
The verdict is in. Freak out. That's the verdict, boys.
I'm not that kind of boy. Semi-gay. That's my verdict.
The verdict is in. Adam Medhurst asks, have you ever been caught up in a misunderstanding that made you look really bad? If so, how did you defuse the situation? Well, John,
what kind of fucking questions are these? Let me think. Yeah, misunderstanding. Oh, too many to count. I can't think of a fucking example right now.
Okay, then that's the verdict, everybody.
Also, I feel bad. I want to be yelling louder, but my neighbor can probably hear me screaming at like 11 p.m. at night. I don't want to be too loud.
That's the verdict, everybody. You have it right when you said that's the verdict on that one. Dougie asks, are there any pizza toppings that only you seem to like, John? What's the verdict?
Wow, I really like this one. Well, actually, I'm a pineapple pizza kind of guy. Ooh. Everybody says they don't like it. How do you feel on that, Zach?
If I made my own democracy, you'd have to drink from a different water fountain. That's how I feel about that one. Okay. That's how I feel about that. James McGuire. Maybe the blacks just like pineapple pizza a lot. And they're like, "What the man? We have every time we order
pizza, this pissed off a lot of white guys." It wasn't disgust. It was just mild annoyance.
It's like, dude, every time white guys order pizza, they'd be like, "Is pepperoni okay?" The black guys always be like, "Can you have pineapple?" And they were like,
oh, "That's it. We need Jim Crow."
Guys, if you get a history test this week, guys, write that down.
Write that.
James McGuides asks, if you could instantly have any job you wanted, are there any that you would make you quit YouTube to take on?
Honestly, I like my job. No, I don't think I'd change it. I actually really like my job.
So you're saying you would not traverse the world?
No. Man, actually, that's a good question. I like... My job fits my lifestyle well, so I don't think I like just being like able to like pop on a podcast and have people listen to what I say, so I can get my ego stroked.
Not just my ego. You like going in front of your one-up plushie and talking about the top ten, talking about the top ten craziest Zelda glitches.
The top 10 times the Goomba was stepped on by Mario.
Top 10. Hey everybody, top 10 Mario red hat.
Got him.
Got him. Hey, if you're listening, you just gotta fucking write me a letter. All right?
Oh, Jesus.
Colbane Manny said, I want to ask John if he's up to visiting Iceland and partying there in downtown.
No way. Are they going to say Reykjavik?
Yes, they are.
I was going to say, I was just thinking about visiting Reykjavik. I'm not kidding.
Wow, look at that.
I really wanted to visit Iceland. I don't know why. It just seems like a really interesting place, and I wanted to see it.
He says, I know exactly 30 people who would be willing to pay, but he says, here's the interesting part. He says,
what?
By the way, his show is really popular in my home country. Pretty much
what?
Pretty,
in Iceland?
Pretty much all the young adults know who he is.
Fucking what? Dude, I'd come to Iceland.
I'd come to Iceland straight away. John goes to Iceland, DVD, fresh suit to DVD.
Dude, I'd go to Iceland. I've always wanted to visit. Do they speak Icelandic, though? Do I have to speak Bjork? Do I have to speak like this one? This shot to people, the people are
right
coming
to
Iceland.
Paint my face and send you an acid bomb right now. I don't know why. It's in my veins. I can't stop it.
What else you got from these lovely, lovely fucking goblins?
This comes from Isaac Perry, who says, John, talk about the racial bell curve.
Oh my God. This is really what it says. Well, Skip.
He said... says, John, what was your favorite joke you wrote for John's show?
That's not what
this
he said.
The same question.
I really thought that's what he said. Sorry, go on.
John, talk about favorite joke you wrote from JonTron.
Favorite joke I wrote from JonTron? Let me think. Oh, man, there's so many.
What about the Rock Boy?
Which one?
The Rock Boy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the one.
You fucking maniac. What's wrong with you?
It's the one where it's a boy in a field with fear in his eyes, and you hear heavy breathing, and you see a big rock.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that's my favorite one. That one, Rock Boy. I'm going to go with Rock Boy. That's my favorite one. I really like this one joke I wrote in the last one where I was like, nyuk, nyuk. I'm very sorry about your cancer diagnosis. Then I hit a slide whistle. I don't know. I really like that joke, but it's fresh, so I can't judge it if it stands the test of time. I don't know. I like the end of Starcade when George Lucas coughs up blood on a picture of me and Aaron.
That's a funny one.
That was
there was one joke you wrote in a delirious fucking state. We were both really delirious. It was like fucking 1 a.m.
What did we write? Oh, it was the Yoda joke?
No, it was for food games. It was one or two. I can't remember. It was whenever we had McDonald's games. And we were...
What did we write? What was it, like one McDonald's, please?
No. It was the creepiest thing you've ever said before. We were both really tired and delirious. And we were like, playing that McDonald's game where you were on a McDonald's.
Yeah?
And
I remember!
You turned to me really seriously. You were like...
What did I say?
You started talking about Ronald McDonald looking in a river as a little girl, as a little clown girl pissed in the river, and you said it really fucking seriously and creepily. And it was
really?
It was one of the funniest fucking things of all time.
I remember. Yeah, it was like he leans down at the river and like watches.
But the way you delivered it shows up my spine.
I don't even remember. I guess we were just tired.
It was
very
genuine.
I was just trying to think of jokes.
You didn't laugh either. You were like,
really?
I saw the eyes of a monster.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I can't even imagine looking at you that seriously talking about that. Oh, you must have been tired. That's funny. That's my favorite joke. Little Ronald McDonald girl. Didn't we actually put that
in? No, you cut it because it was Ronald McDonald girl pissing in the river while... you thought a little girl pissing in a river while an adult watches was a little too... little too much for your crackle spot.
It's when he leans down by the river and he bends down at it.
Pencil Shavy says, will you ever be a guest grub?
If they have me.
There you go. Classy as Clay says, are there any quote-unquote dead projects you're disappointed never came to fruition? I guess that's kind of similar to the regret thing, but any projects you wish would have turned out better or turned out at all?
Yeah, there have been a couple. There have been a couple of projects. You know what? I won't reveal them now. I'll have to reveal them at another time. Okay. There were a couple dead projects in my lifetime. RIP. Sorry, I'm being the worst fucking Q&A guy right now.
We're almost done. Yeah. Oh, 1 sec.
What the fuck is wrong? What did you just... Did you just go into the void?
Ultra Bondage Fairy asks, and this is for me. Yeah, he says, can you upload Dream Quest for us? I want to make some bread. That's a little reference for those who listened to my last fucking thing. I made a shitty game in RPG Maker. Yes, I'm going to upload...
You did?
I did. I made a game in RPG Maker called Dream Quest. It was a fuck. It was RuneScape with 2D. It was real...
That's amazing.
It was real fucking epic.
it sounds like it.
The verdict said yes. John, give us a yes.
Yes.
Got him.
Costa asks, compared to before YouTube stardom, how have your life and relationships with New York and old friends / people changed? I guess the question is, how has stuff changed for JonTron?
Yeah, life changes. Life has changed.
John, have you got any people from the old world trying to approach you and say, hey, I used to know you?
The old world? You mean from, what do you mean?
The old world.
What the fuck are you talking about, you psycho?
Anybody from like high school or something where they're like, hey, I know you.
You mean like on the internet?
Just generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah, as far as like high school friends, not to be honest, not as much anymore, especially here on the East Coast. Just like one guy who happens to live here who I went to middle school with, but that's about it.
Well, they sound like lovely folks. And finally,
Thanks, Zachary.
You know what? We close out with Clark Watcher asking, what's your ultimate plan for your career? That's a heavy one to end on.
Oh, that's a good one. Honestly, I just want to keep making people laugh. Now, isn't that funny how people always say, oh, did I get an from the audience? You better play an sound bit. No. People always say that, but it's like, it's hard to, honestly, my trajectory is to keep going where the green is, eh? You know what I'm saying? No, but, for real, like, I just want to keep being able to, like, make, I like making stuff that's true to myself. If I can make something that's true to myself, no matter what, like, even just like a podcast like this, where, because, like, the worst thing is, when you're in Hollywood, I feel like one of the things you're beholden to is, like, all these social customs, and you gotta be this and that, but, you know, on the internet, you can just be whatever you want, say whatever you want. It's really freeing. I don't feel like there's any amount of money that would convince me to give that up.
No, I completely... that's why I'm... Part of the reason I'm doing this, I don't want to have to fucking work under... It's not even about working under people, I guess I should say. Rather, I don't like having to sort of fall into the norm of being a certain way.
You have to do that. You know. You have to do that in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, this podcast would not fly in a lot of circles.
No way.
I'm not saying it's like crazy and edgy. I'm just saying... I don't
never work in Hollywood again.
Person. I just say what makes me laugh. Yeah. But even people, like, I couldn't talk about this stuff if I wasn't.
No, I don't think we could have a. It's weird though, because like we do dip in out from the new and the old, but I think it's just a lot of the. I think it's one of those things. People are fickle. when they see success, they stop caring about the means. Sometimes, do you know what I mean? Like, well, I mean true success, like positive success. You know, it's like. We've shown that we can hold audiences, so that's all they care about. You know what I mean?
That's literally all that matters in the content creation.
Yeah, pretty much.
That you have an audience, that's it.
Yeah, but I mean, the way that we've done it is by doing stuff that's true to us, I think.
That's what I think.
That's all, folks.
Hey, everyone, are you still here? It's me, your crazy Uncle Zach. Okay. I just wanted to give a quick, genuine, from the bottom of my black, fucking cancerous heart, a special thanks to my patrons for supporting my ass. All of your money helped go to extra work, like the art you see, the music for the intro, all of that stuff came directly from Patreon money. So, objectively, measurably, it helps. If you're interested in supporting me, you can find my Patreon at patreon.com. I know this isn't fun. Patreon.com/psychicpebbles. So that really helps. I also want to give a special thanks to Jeff Delgado for painting everything you saw on screen. Special thanks to Alan Brown for composing the music at the beginning. That beautiful fucking... tasty. And finally, special thanks to Greg Catterman for doing the beautiful fucking British narration. You can find all of their social media links below in the description. Check their stuff out, all very talented guys. And as part of one of the perks for the top tiers for the Patreon, you're allowed to attach a little ending message at the end of every episode. And the only one we have for episode one is from James McGuyans, who says, "Can you please call my friend Carlton a squiddy fuck? Carlton, you're a squiddy fuck. Cunt." Well, I think that's it. I hope you all enjoyed the first episode of Schmucks, and look forward to episode two in 7 months.